Today's music highlights themes of both the second Sunday of Advent and of White Gift Sunday. You will first hear music relating to the appointed readings for today, first in the chimes, an organ prelude with "Comfort, Comfort, O My People," and the opening hymn, "The Baptist Shouts on Jordan's Shore." We then move to music surrounding the Christmas story, in the sung hymns, "Gentle Joseph, Joseph Dear," "Go Tell It on the Mountain," and "We Three Kings," and in piano arrangements of "Away in a Manger" and "Jesus Our Brother, Kind and Good." Today's service concludes with the ever-favorite "Joy to the World" as our closing hymn and organ postlude.
As we begin worship today, let me test your memory. Last Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, which candle did we light in our Advent wreath? If you said hope, you're right. This year, more than ever, it feels especially appropriate to have marked the beginning of Advent by focusing on what we need most in order to make it through these challenging times. Our hope, rooted and grounded in a God who has promised to never abandon or forsake us, reminds us that things do not always have to be the way they've always been. With God's help, not only do we have access to strength beyond our own and reason to hope, but also reason to live with less anxiety, less fear, because thankfully, God's got this, even when we don't. The hope that comes to us from God, embodied in the person of Jesus, is not meant to be hoarded or clutched onto for dear life, but shared and shared freely. We are called to be messengers of hope in the face of despair. And messengers of hope is our theme for this day. We are called to shine light in the darkest of places and moments. One of the many reasons we worship together each week is to be equipped to do this important work, to be reminded that there are fellow travelers on the road with us, also committed to embodying and proclaiming a message of hope. One of the very best ways of getting the attention of others so that they might be open to experiencing this hope that is ours is by living a life whose hallmark is love. Which brings us to the second candle in our Advent wreath, the candle we light today. Love is a very big four-letter word of faith. It is indeed what the world needs now, as the familiar song goes. But the love I'm talking about is not sappy or sentimental. It is not superficial or selective. It is, quite frankly, hard work, and it is embodied in actions. God said, "I love you," by going ahead and creating each one of us in the divine image. God said, "I love you," by giving us the freedom to choose between good and evil. God said, "I love you," by sending Jesus to live and dwell among us, taking on human form so that God might understand our pain and our hearts. Then Jesus said, "I love you," by healing the sick, feeding the hungry, seeing those on the edges and in the margins as people of value and worth. And then he said, "I love you," in a way that we simply cannot forget, as he died on the cross, giving his all for us. May the light of our love and the light in our Advent wreath both challenge and encourage us to make sure that the love we demonstrate is genuine. That is, that it bears a striking resemblance to the love God has demonstrated toward us, no strings attached. With great hope and love, as we take a deep breath and enter now into worship, may we be very aware that God is among us, God whom we know as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Baptist shouts of joy, 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 jo
Each week, as part of worship, we take time to confess our sins because, quite frankly, we need to do so. We've all made mistakes, and we all need God's gift of forgiveness. And so I invite you to join me now in praying our prayer of confession. The words may be found on our website and Facebook page. And if you don't have them handy, not to worry. We invite you to join us in a spirit of prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, given the uncharted waters we have been navigating for the better part of this year, and the weariness that washes over us like an unwelcome wave knocking us off our feet, we admit that being messengers of hope is not at the top of our list of priorities. Surely someone else will claim that responsibility. Surely you do not expect us to be spreading hope when some days it takes everything we have to just keep on keeping on. Forgive us for forgetting that there is plenty of hope to go around, because you are the source of that hope. Grant us the patience to wait for you to bring that hope to life as we prepare for Jesus' birth. As we wait and prepare, may the way we live each day clearly communicate that hope is what sustains us, and your promises can be trusted. This we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, Emmanuel, the one who is indeed with us in more ways than we can imagine. Amen. Friends, when we confess our sins, we know that God is faithful. God is just. God forgives us and cleanses us from all that is not right. God does this over and over again, tirelessly, because God loves us. May we never take that gift for granted. May we allow that gift to fill us with a sense of freedom and hope as we live our lives each day. Amen.
Because we are honoring White Gift Sunday, we have a bit of a different order of things, and our message will look a bit different. So I invite you to switch gears with me now as we enter into a time of prayer. We have quite a few joys and concerns to lift up that have been shared with us in the course of the week. Quite a few birthdays to celebrate. Bob Bertolette celebrated a birthday this past week, as did Lynn Hunsinger and Judy Baumgardner. And perhaps the most notable birthday is that Roger Wardlow celebrated his 104th birthday on December 3rd. So we rejoice in all of those birthdays and give thanks for the wonderful lives among us. And some concerns to lift up. We keep in our prayers the family of Ron Husingay's brother-in-law, who passed away this past week as a result of COVID. We keep in our prayers the family of Bob Vass. Many of you know Bob. He passed away on Tuesday, and we are thinking and praying especially for his wife, Rachel. We keep in our prayers Ann Porter, who had surgery this past Friday, and we surround her with prayers of healing and pray that the surgery worked as she recovers. We keep in our prayers Megan Burns, who is the granddaughter of Jean Rochong, who is currently battling COVID, and the family of Jeffrey Minninger, who passed away this past week. We think of his wife, Sally, and his daughters, Heather and Rebecca Blake. Lots to pray for this week, and I know, of course, that you all come to a time of prayer with your own joys and concerns and worries on your hearts and minds, so I invite you to bring those to mind now as we pray. God of love, each day holds the potential for anything and everything. A good day for some may be the worst day for another. A season of celebration for many may be painfully difficult for someone else. As we are reminded today of the story of your son's birth, we look to Mary and Joseph, who remind us that life can change in a matter of moments. We look to the wise men to show us how to be faithful, persistent followers even when we aren't quite sure where the path will take us. And we look to you, O God, who knows very well the complexity of this season, because it is when you joyfully sent your Son to live and dwell among us, to feel the joy and pain of human life. In all of our feeling, in all of our living, in all of our excitement, anticipation, and struggles of this season, be with us, O God. Remind us that we are not alone, that we are held up and held together by prayer and supported by love. Be with those who celebrate this day and with those who come to this time of worship with heavy hearts. We take time now to pray silently for those we've lifted up and for those on our hearts and minds. As we share this worship experience with one another, as we await the coming of the Christ child, and as we seek joy all around us, may we be reminded that we are all children of God, forever cared for and forever loved. Bless the gifts that we bring on Sunday and throughout the week. Bless those who receive them. And most importantly, remind us that the true gifts are the ones that cannot be wrapped, but gifts that we have the opportunity to give one another each and every day. We pray all of these things in the name of Christ, the living expression of all hope, all love, all joy, and all peace, and the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
To set the tone for what we will be sharing in this white gift message, I share with you first a scripture reading from the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. As the original hearers of these words listened to what the prophet Isaiah had to say, they weren't thinking about Jesus. But as modern-day Christians reread these words and we hear of Jesus, we anticipate his coming. Chapter 40 begins with these words, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And our gospel lesson today comes from the first chapter of Luke. It describes what happened before Jesus was born, as Mary, his mother, visited with her cousin Elizabeth. From chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 39. "In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord.' And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to his ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. And Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is the word of the Lord for us this day, and we give thanks. Amen.
We know that this year our annual white gift service looks a bit different, or rather sounds a bit different. But there is something comforting in knowing that no matter where the Christmas story finds us, whether in a crowded sanctuary or alone in our favorite armchair, the story does still find us and speak to us and touches us deeply. The story of Christ's birth is one for all times and all places. So today, as we listen and envision Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus in the chancel, with children dressed as angels and donkeys and sheep tucked in close by, we will tell the story of Christmas, knowing that wherever we are, Christ is still coming to us. When thinking about words to introduce what is about to unfold as we retell this familiar story on this White Gift Sunday, I began thinking about the kind of introduction Mary and Joseph had to the news that their worlds would be turned upside down with the birth of Jesus. But come to think of it, they didn't really have much of an introduction, did they? No sooner was she told that she would give birth to God's son, Mary was on the back of a donkey, making her way with Joseph to Bethlehem. I imagine their journey was filled with anticipation, fear, anxiety, excitement, and a whole lot of praying. I think of Mary praying for strength and peace as she prepared to bear such a gift. But my thoughts often turn to Joseph, who, despite the confusion and whirlwind of feelings I'm almost certain he was experiencing, quite literally walked beside Mary through it all, with love and with grace, as they both set off on this holy journey.